Hello, I'm Love Coach Mariah, and you're listening to Becoming Secure in Love on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Stick with me for the next hour, and I'll take you on a journey. In every episode, we'll examine the challenges that love can present and explore the various ways to shift from push and pull to peace of mind. The topic of this episode is abandonment, a fear that feeds itself in unexpected ways. And I have my friend Victoria Coronado here today to discuss it with me. Victoria is a licensed professional counselor and intuitive eating therapist, and I'm so delighted to be having this conversation with you. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so very glad to be invited.
Thanks. So one of the biggest revelations on my journey was a double whammy. Number one, I had an abandonment wound that I wasn't aware of. My parents got divorced when I was 1.5, and I grew up thinking I got off easy being so young. I spent weekdays with mom and weekends with dad. I later learned about child development and somehow never revisited my story about myself until my last partner observed that I had abandonment issues. I was like, no, sure, I saw them both regularly. And from a very early age, I had to be torn away from each of them twice a week. And then I also realized that the fact that my mom almost died from birthing complications about a week after I was born was probably my primary abandonment wound, later compounded by the divorce. So whammy number two, when I dug in and learned more about abandonment issues, you know what I found out? In my attempts to prevent lovers from disapproving of me, rejecting me, leaving me, I was contorting myself to keep them around, which was me abandoning myself. And it was that self-abandonment that was just keeping my abandonment wound festering. Any part of me that wasn't embraced by a lover, I rejected. I shunned it and shrunk it and hid it. And all of those parts were pieces of me that I was abandoning. I'm going to take a beat here and let that sink in for any of you listening who might be having a huge revelation right now. This pattern left me very needy of acceptance and approval, but you know what doesn't work? Sourcing approval from outside of ourselves. So this is where my exploration of self-love took on a whole new level, but we'll get into that another day. Today, I want to focus on the ways that we abandon ourselves, the ways that it perpetuates itself, and the steps that we can take to start shifting the behavior so we can start showing up for ourselves instead, in ways that are compassionate to both ourselves and our counterparts. Mm-hmm. So Victoria, what have been some of your own experiences with self-abandonment?
Yeah, it's really interesting, that term self-abandonment. When I really think about that phrase, what comes to mind is, for most of my life, having a drive to be pleasing to others, and that my sense of self-worth was directly tied to that, that to the extent that other people were pleased by me was how I gauged whether or not I was worthy of being on this planet. And so that showed up for me in a variety of ways. I recall being at work and taking on projects that I really didn't want to do, but volunteering to do them and then feeling resentful later. Loaning money to people when I didn't even have emergency savings for myself. And then later, you know, realizing, oh, got a flat tire, I don't even have money to fix that for myself. You know, in romantic relationships, agreeing to go do things that I actually had no interest in doing, but because I wanted to please my partner, like maybe I don't like action adventure type movies, you know, with car chases and all that. But more often than not, I found myself going to those movies just because that would please them. And yeah. So there are just a variety of ways where, you know, it would show up. And with my children, when they were young, you know, one of my children had this horrible habit of forgetting their school lunch or their homework, or, and I would leave work, go across town and bring them their lunch because God forbid they should have to eat the school cafeteria lunch. But in the process, you know, that self-abandonment piece was realizing that I was going to feel very bad about leaving a meeting or not meeting a deadline. And so I was having this push and pull, as you mentioned earlier, this push and pull of, I want to my child to like me because I'm the mom who came to the rescue. And I also want my boss to like me because I show up for my projects. And in the process, I was losing myself.
And we can't please everybody.
No, really can't.
And then when we have to make choices, and we're never one of the choices, we're never one of the options.
Like, right, exactly.
Or I guess we're always the last option. Like, mm-hmm.
Or at least it was for a very long time for me, for a very, very long time, where I always thought I could make my needs smaller and that somehow it was the thought of, well, if this is really going to bother the other person, then I'm the one who can accommodate. And so I would abandon myself in that regard, thinking, oh, they couldn't handle it as well as I could. So I'll be the one to accommodate.
Oh, man. And then that gets into like the whole savior rescuer dynamic too, and mm-hmm. the people pleasing and the fawning. I actually had somebody one time tell me that it was like a friend, and he was trying to be a friend, and he was like, and he was actually the partner of another friend of mine, but so sort of brotherly love, you know. He was like, I don't remember exactly what he said, but he used the word accommodating, like you're mm-hmm. you're too accommodating, mm-hmm. and like, you know, to your own detriment, like take care of yourself a little bit more, like don't be so, or no, he might have said available, like you make yourself too available. It's one of those two words.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that and being like, I hear the concern and I appreciate the concern. And like, I don't think that that's true at all. And I was just, you know, deep in my, like, of course that's what you do. Mm-hmm. You like bend over backwards for everybody as much as you right. possibly can. Like, that's how you do.
And I know that most people think that this is just a woman problem, right? That women always abandon themselves in relationships, but it's not true. And in my work as a therapist, I have men who actually don't have any identity outside of people pleasing. They literally don't know who they are if they are not living for the purpose of making their boss happy, making their wife happy, trying to make their kids happy, their friends happy. And they actually don't know even what they even like for themselves. Do they actually like fishing, or are they just doing it because that's time with dad, right? And so it's not just a female problem or a woman problem or a mom problem, or this is something that can affect anybody. And it very closely aligns with codependency, right? There's that aspect of abandonment of self in codependency, sort of needing to be needed right. to feel valued and worthy.
And that comes, again, ties into the like external validation is kind of my umbrella mm-hmm. thing for that, like just sourcing needs. I mean, there are needs that are externally sourced. Like we have social needs that can only get met by other people.
Right.
On a side note with that, one of the problems, one of the hangups that we get are, you know, kind of detrimental to ourselves is when we get attached to a specific person fulfilling our, you know,
absolutely. Needs. Yes.
But the main thing about external sources, so many of those needs are best sourced internally. And in fact, it becomes dysfunctional to try and source them externally, mm-hmm. like self-worth and validation. I mean, and this is like validation is actually, I'm going to do a little bit of tangent here. Validation is actually a funny word because, like, scientifically speaking, it's a good idea to have your ideas validated by other mm-hmm. people. Like, hey, this is a theory I have. Can I run this past you? Does it make sense? Does it sound? Does it actually, like,
sure.
You know, is it reasonable? And then I always think of that. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Superman. You know, it's like, if you see something and you're like, am I seeing this correctly? You know, hey, Victoria, do you see this too? Am I seeing this correctly? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, can I trust my eyes? But so many of the things that we seek external validation for are things that are purely subjective and internal things. And like, yes. Nobody can validate or invalidate your emotional experiences for you, mm-hmm. for example, like, if someone tries to tell you that the emotional experience you're having is invalid, like that's gaslighting.
Yeah.
and then it's just horrible when we actually think that we can only get those things validated by other people.
Yeah. And I think that's like the trick of the mind, right? Is thinking that we need external validation, that we need others to validate us. And I've run into this a lot with my clients when they are feeling low, they will get on dating apps. Hoping to validate that they are attractive or that they are, you know, worthy of someone wanting to date them. And, you know, it can be really this trap that they fall into because if they do get matches, they get that dopamine hit. And if they don't get matches, then they sink even lower. Whereas, you know, what I try to help them do is to find their own internal validation. They don't need someone outside of them to tell them that they are worthy of dating or that they are lovable or that they are attractive, right? They need to first believe that themselves and then allow that energy to pull someone into their life.
And that really is like the iceberg under the water I will probably do several episodes on how much of what we pick up on in terms of like common advice and wisdom and stuff that's, you know, floated around in social media and memes and whatnot.
Yeah.
So much of that stuff, like, you know, you got to learn to love yourself first, is true. And the bulk of the work is in doing that, like learning how to love yourself, overcoming all of the patterns and habits that we have around, the way that we've disconnected, ourselves from our worth and our self-love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the things that we, you know, when I said all of those bits that I've been abandoning, those things get dumped into our shadow too. And, people talk about shadow work, shadow aspects. And I mean, essentially the shadow, hi kitty cat, the shadow essentially is, you know, what's unconscious. It's the stuff that you're not aware of, but a lot of those things that we shame and shun and abandon, are things that then get dumped into our shadow and, you know, we reject them. And so we deny them and then we pretend like they're not there. And the funny thing about the shadow is that oftentimes it's what we think no one sees that everybody sees.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're like, oh,
yeah, they are these rejected aspects of ourself, right? Mm-hmm. Things about ourself that we just can't accept. Right. And so we end up rejecting it. And in that, we are creating self-abandonment because we're saying the totality of what I am is not acceptable because we ourselves reject some aspects of ourself. And so, you know, in that we are creating self-abandonment, and because there are certain parts of us, and it varies from person to person what those parts are. For some people, it's like, I can't stand needy people. And then I'll ask them, well, why is that? Well, because I don't like it in me. I don't like that I have needs. And so they'll reject that part of themselves and then reject others for something they can't accept within themselves because they've abandoned that part of themselves.
I actually heard a really handy sort of mnemonic or something one time. It was, you spot it, you got it, or you don't. So sometimes we resent people for maybe being kind of sloppy or something, like if mm-hmm. we're perfectionists and we're like, oh, that horrible slovenly person, you know? And it's like, well, you're just jealous, actually.
Yes. Like, I wish I could live messy and not be affected by it.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, maybe not like completely like unsanitary, sloppy, right? Dirty, yeah. You know, but somewhere in between. But like, to like, part of your hatred for that person is mm-hmm. because you're so disallowing that behavior in you that you like resent that they're allowed to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this, you know, ties in a lot with what we're going to talk about later in this podcast about, you know, how we view people who are overweight, right? And how we shame them and how it becomes part of the shadow self when we can't accept that in ourselves. And so those who can't accept that part of themselves where they love food and they wish they were eating more and maybe they're heavily restricting, they tend to judge others really harshly and think that others are judging them the same way. So that ties in quite well because it is that shadow self, that sort of jealousy of like, I wish I could eat whatever I want and then put on a bikini. And since they don't feel they can do that, they end up judging others who do quite harshly.
Yep. Oh man. And I'm definitely going to do several segments on judgment and the problems of that whole operating system and how it always pretty much lands you at some point in a puddle of shame. And that's just dysfunctional. So I'm going to pause this right here so we can take a quick break. You're listening to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah, and my guest, Victoria Coronado. We've been discussing the abandonment wound, and now we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll explore ways we take our abandonment fears out on our bodies. Do you abuse your body to keep your lovers around? Stay tuned.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Courtney Cottrell, host of Unapologetically Favorite on Transformation Talk Radio, here to give you some tips on how you can move your life forward if you're feeling stuck by using the GROW model. First, use the letter G to write down the goal that you ultimately want to achieve, whether it's working out 1 hour a day or working towards a promotion at work. Second, using the letter R, think realistically about the roadblock that is currently holding you back from accomplishing your goals. Third, use the letter O. Think about the options or opportunities that will help you in achieving your goal. What can you change in your daily routine that will help you move closer to achieving your goal? Fourth, use the letter W to discover your will and make a true commitment to achieving your goal by writing down a completion date. Once you've reached your goal, celebrate your accomplishment. You are capable of achieving anything you set your mind to. Never give up and keep being unapologetically you.
Oh, self-care can be so much fun. And it's not just about bubble baths, but instead about prioritizing the wholeness of who you are without it taking a lot of time out of your day. I'm Claudia Sam, your Soul Connection coach, host of the Be Happy Now show. I invite you to put yourself at the top of the to-do list without guilt. Join me in the Soul Connector Circle community. Get daily pocket coaching and support to stay on track. Go to soulconnectorcircle.com and use the discount code RADIO.
Do you feel like love is just taking you for a ride? If you struggle to find yourself in a fulfilling romantic relationship, join me, Love Coach Mariah, in my show, Becoming Secure in Love, From Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, every second and fourth Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Discover the joy of being loved as your true, authentic self. Visit LoveCoachMariah.com for more. That's LoveCoachMariah.com.
Welcome back to Becoming Secure in Love, From Push and Pull to Peace of Mind with me, Love Coach Mariah. You can find me at lovecoachmariya.com. And my guest today is Victoria Coronado, a licensed professional counselor and intuitive eating therapist. If folks want to get in touch with you, Victoria, what's the best way?
Oh, yeah. If people want to learn more about my counseling services, more about intuitive eating, what all that's about, they can look me up at my website. It's www.nourishcounselingservices.com. And that's Nourish, N-O-U-R-I-S-H.
Perfect. Thanks. So before the break, we were discussing the abandonment wound, and we were just about to get into ways we take our abandonment fears out on our bodies. Mm-hmm. So, Victoria, would you be willing to tell us a personal story of your experience with self-abandonment via your body?
Sure. What came to mind as I was thinking about this self-abandonment was a relationship that I had had. The person that I had started dating, I was just, you know, head over heels, crazy for him, but he never let on that he felt particularly like that he desired me or felt particularly attracted to me. And that was just like perplexing to me. Like, why wasn't this person acting the ways that other men I had dated had acted? And I'd often see him watching, like, on Instagram reels, like, girls working out, and he wanted to be a personal trainer, and so he was going to go get his certification. And so I feel like I entered that relationship feeling rather secure in myself, but over time that my self-esteem started really deteriorating, because I'd see him always looking at these other women on social media, and then started thinking that I was deficient somehow, and I wanted that validation from him. So I started, you know, being his guinea pig for his personal training, and he'd have me going through all kinds of routines. And I mean, I was so eager to please him and to drop weight that, you know, at some point I actually ended up developing an eating disorder, and I was restricting my calories to about 500 calories a day and doing two workouts. And those workouts would consist of like an hour long HIIT workout in the Texas heat, because, you know, it wasn't indoors, it was in a garage. And then we'd go for a 7-mile walk in the afternoon and, you know, at the park, do some push-ups and, you know, like it was just insane. And I was being driven solely by, I want him to find me desirable. And maybe it's my weight. Maybe my weight is the issue. Maybe he thinks I'm overweight and I should lose weight. I need to look like those girls in, you know, the social media posts. And I do, in particular, I recall an instance where he had worked me out so hard, I started vomiting and then said, well, get back in there. See those other girls, they're doing it. And that feeling of somehow I was not worthy, you know, of the, you know, being in the same gym as these other women. And so even though within myself, I knew I'm sick, I'm literally suffering from heat stroke, I'm vomiting, I felt compelled to go back and work out. And that piece there, that self-abandonment, that, you know, I knew what was best and right for me. And yet I felt that I desperately needed his approval, his validation to feel like he found me attractive and desirable. And that went on for several years until at some point I realized this was so damaging and so toxic and that I needed to free myself from that relationship. And that's how I actually, you know, I ended up healing from my eating disorder by finding an intuitive therapist. And then in time decided that I wanted to focus my career on helping others who were struggling similarly. But in that particular relationship, I realized how much I was doing similar things in other areas of my life, such as in work, taking on projects that I knew were going to stress me out, be overwhelming, and yet agreeing to them. And I realized it wasn't just a problem of the relationship. It was a me problem, right? So
I think it's interesting that you, I mean, that this modality is called intuitive eating therapy, mm-hmm. because when you said, I knew that I was sick, mm-hmm. but I continued doing what he wanted me to do for validation and whatnot. There's yeah. what struck out to me was the self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And like, essentially it's a disconnect from your intuition and a distrust of your intuition.
Absolutely. It's an overriding. It's overriding. Your body is telling you something and you are overriding the signals your body is giving you. You're saying, I'm not going to pay attention to that. I'm pushing that out. I'm rejecting that part of myself because that is not aligning with my objective to get this validation. And so I'm going to ignore it.
Another like prioritization of external mm-hmm. validation, essentially.
Right, exactly. I was so desperate. Wrong. Yeah, desperate for that person's validation. And in the work scenario that I'm talking about, I had a spinal fusion around the same time. And a few months after the healing part of it, we were doing a convention. And as office manager, I was in charge of bringing all the equipment and, you know, displays and all of that. And at some point I thought, why am I the one who's carrying all this stuff? I've just had a spinal fusion, right? Like my body was telling me, no, you should not be carrying these very heavy, you know, tents and things. You should be asking somebody for help. But I wanted to be seen as like the hero of the office. You know, I wanted that good job, you know, way to go, team player, you carried all the stuff in. And that was really the moment at which I said, something's got to change. Something has got to change. And recognize that my behavior, like, this behavior was showing up in multiple types of relationships, not just romantic relationship. It was also work relationships and friend relationships and loaning money to family and things like that. Loaning money I didn't really have to loan. Taking out, you know, like using my credit card to loan money, which is just ridiculous. So I realized it was something I had to change within myself.
What is it you see as like what aspects of your formative experience mm-hmm. do you think contributed to that?
Yeah. So, you know, my relationship with my dad has always been rather complicated. I grew up in a household where there was a lot of verbal, physical, and, you know, psychological abuse. And one of my survival techniques was simply trying to, you know, get dad's favor, his attention, his favor. And so I often found myself doing the same things I did later in adult life. Like, hey dad, there's this black and white World War II movie on, let's watch it together, which I could care less, you know, an 11-year-old girl could care less about, you know, I don't know, Bora 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 and, you know, like these movies that he loved watching. And my dad had his own issues around food. And so, you know, he would often restrict heavily and he would cause me to restrict at the same time. And then he'd give up on his diet and be like, well, now we're having a binge night, you know? And so then there would be like cakes and candies and cookies. And of course I just went right along with it, you know, okay, we're restricting. Okay, now we're binging. And so my formative years were really all about trying to get my dad's validation, trying to win his approval. And the way to do that was just enter into his world. I can barely remember any times where dad entered into my world, like play dolls with me or, you know, something that was important to me. It was always me entering into what was important to him.
So the only way to get connection was to abandon yourself.
To abandon myself and my, what was important to me and what was, yeah, like, you know, sort of inviting him into my world. It was, sure, let's go for that bike. I remember going for a bike ride with him at like midnight in the middle of a lightning storm because he just got up on a whim. Let's do this. And I was scared to death of the lightning storm. But yes, okay, I want dad's favor because that's going to protect me from, you know, the beatings that might come later. And, you know, I, to some extent it did, you know, my brother and sister got far more punishments than I did. So to some extent that survival technique paid off. And that's why I likely carried it through into adulthood because there was something in that that gave me some amount of protection and security to win his validation, his favor. So it became a coping mechanism when I was a child. And then it became something that was actually hurting me as an adult. I no longer needed that strategy.
Right. Something I've found is that when we grow up in dysfunctional homes, the coping mechanisms that we develop to survive get us through that. Yeah. And then once we're older and responsible for ourselves and in at least ideally relatively healthier you know, situations, applying the coping mechanisms that helped in dysfunctional relationships to potentially functional relationships makes them dysfunctional.
Absolutely. Yes. It's all of a sudden the coping mechanism itself is no longer working for us. And right. Yeah, we see this a lot with people who have, for example, binge eating disorder, you know, where they would have turned to food for comfort as a child. And now as an adult, the food itself and the weight issues that are involved with that are becoming the problem in and of themselves. That's becoming their tormentor.
Man, I'm always amazed by the way the human mind works.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It really is.
So Victoria and I were talking earlier, and we both agree that the best way to start working on growing out of these types of patterns is by reconnecting to the body with some form of embodiment practice. And we're going to get into that after a short break. You're listening to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah, and my guest, Victoria Coronado. We've been discussing ways we can take our abandonment fears out on our bodies. And when we return from a quick break, we'll explore embodiment. Do you know how to bring your awareness out of your mind and into your body? And do you know how crucial that is for your personal and spiritual development, not to mention the well-being of your relationships? Stay tuned.
Too many people go too long forgetting their true soul purpose. Join me, Gina Gale Gray, every fourth Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific in Savvy Solutions. Take the journey back to me with a Freedom Coach and Oracle on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find your soul oceans now in my show. Learn how you can release the wall around your heart and follow your emotional being back to connection and compassion. Visit AnywhereMindBodySoul.com.
In body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart. Join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and adds meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
Melissa Johnson is a certified life coach, author, speaker, and creator of Wow Ministries, Worship Over Worry, designed to give you the tools needed to live a life of purpose. You have a choice daily to worry about your life and give up the fight, or decide to worship God through your pain. and triumph victoriously. Melissa Johnson offers a variety of books, curriculums, and programs to guide you through a self-discovery journey.
Book your consultation with Melissa Johnson today at wowministriesllc.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara Company. I've been using the Volara Company equipment, the air machines, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera and Dr. Sharon Martin, in the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
Welcome back to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. You can find me at lovecoachmariah.com. And my guest today is my friend, Victoria Coronado, a licensed professional counselor and intuitive eating therapist. If folks want to get in touch with you, Victoria, will you tell us again where to find you?
Sure. They can find me on my website at nourishcounselingservices.com.
Great. And do you have any special announcements or promotions you'd like to share?
Yes, actually, I have a group practice at Nourish Counseling, and we are currently offering a free 30-minute consultation for anybody who might want to call in and see if they might be a good fit to work with one of our therapists, so that they can find out more about whether they might have disordered eating, or if they want to talk more about this idea of abandonment of self and get some of the support that they might need to work through some of those obstacles that they're having around food and body image.
Wonderful. Thank you. So before the break, we were discussing ways we take our abandonment fears out on our bodies, and we were just about to explore embodiment. Mm-hmm. Embodiment is a practice. It's an experiential thing. And since it's such an essential component of personal growth and healing, I'm going to take a few minutes to go over it. Our modern culture is heavily oriented to the mind, so much so that we are largely disconnected from our bodies. We no longer know how to hear them or even how to interpret what we do pick up from them. The body is a whole third of the Holy Trinity, mind, body, soul. Yet most of us run around as if the mind is like 90% of our interface with existence and our sole arbiter of truth. Let me tell you, the body has deep, deep wisdom and remarkable intelligence. For those of us on a journey of personal growth, healing, and spiritual development, many will come up against a wall where we've done all the workshops, read all the books, practiced all the information, and still don't experience any transformation. If that sounds like you, I can tell you exactly what your process is missing, because when I tapped into it is when things really finally started shifting for me. All learning, growth, and healing requires incorporating the body. I mean, corpus is body. We have to integrate new knowledge holistically through the body. And if we are to have any hope of that knowledge actually reshaping us and shifting our patterns, and so we have to get reacquainted with our bodies so we can learn from them too. They communicate so much and they have so much to teach us. They are the ultimate guides for healing our wounds. Mm-hmm. Would you agree, Victoria?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. So if you're anything like I was a few years ago, dear listener, you might be thinking, wow, this sounds really cool, but I have no idea what you're talking about. Or maybe you've had the experience of people asking you how you feel and you go searching in your body, but you come up with nothing. The funny thing about embodiment, especially for those of us in modern society who are conditioned to a heavy mind orientation, is that it's not something you can think about because it's purely experiential. becoming embodied, getting in the body is something you just do. It's like the difference between reading a book about swimming and actually getting in the water and having the experience. If you stop to think about getting in your body, your mind will pretty much always tell you it's pointless. You just have to do it. And the way you do it is by shifting your awareness out of your mind and down into your body. For most folks, they are so conditioned to having their attention on the mind that they are so fully identified with their mind, mm-hmm. and they cannot conceive of having their attention somewhere else because for them, the mind is total. It is existence, but that's not actually true. The truth is that you are a soul having a human experience. Your true self is the entity that hears the thoughts in your mind that ramble incessantly if you hadn't noticed. You are not the mind that is thinking them. The mind is an expression of your brain, which is an incredible organ. And guess what? A part of your body. Mm-hmm. And your body has other ways of expressing itself too, many of which we experience as feelings, which have distinct measurable energetic frequencies. Emotions are the combination of the thoughts in our mind and how we feel them in our bodies, which is largely the result of chemicals our brain dumps into our bodies in reaction to the thoughts it has in response to outside stimuli or other thoughts. And this is how we can end up spiraling out sometimes for days or weeks or more over something someone said or did or didn't do or say. So here, lovely audience, try this. If you're sitting down right now, can you feel your bum where it makes contact with your seat? Or if you're standing or walking, can you feel the soles of your feet making contact with the ground? Can you feel the pressure there? Can you get a sense of your weight under Earth's gravity? Do you feel any slight tingling at those contact points? Maybe you feel some pain or discomfort in adjoining body parts, your low back, your knees, or your hips. Is there any tension in your shoulders? Did you just relax a little? Okay, mission accomplished. You just brought your awareness into your body. Congratulations. And that's the gist of it. It's so simple, and the mind is so fond of overcomplicating things that it cannot wrap itself around this practice. And that's just fine because it has no role in it anyway. And as a practice, the more time we spend with our awareness in our bodies, the more reconnected to it we become, and the more skilled we get at picking up on its subtle messages. Eventually, we learn to discern what truth feels like in our bodies. It has a very clear, distinct frequency. And we can come back to check in with our bodies to know what is in or out of alignment for us, what resonates. Some very basic and incredibly powerful tools for an embodiment practice are quite similar to various meditation practices. Things like yoga, dance, earthing, mindfully walking a labyrinth path, anything that supports you consciously bringing your awareness into your body. My personal favorite is a chakra meditation. So bringing this back to self-abandonment, to a large extent, one of the first ways we've collectively abandoned ourselves is by abandoning our bodies. And so it makes sense that one of the first steps to healing the abandonment wound is by reconnecting with our bodies. And for those of us who have gone even further and effectively abused or severely neglected our bodies, there are very specific embodiment practices that can help us heal those additional wounds around our relationship to our bodies. But before we get into those, Victoria, what are some other ways you have found your romantic relationships impacted by your and or their disembodiment?
Yeah, you know, this idea of disembodiment is really about not trusting the signals that our body is giving us, right? So what I have found is, you know, in the world of online dating, not trusting if my body was giving me signals that somebody was not safe and not listening to that, right? And there's so much wisdom that our body has for us, and we might override it because we think, oh, why should I feel that way? You know, like, what has this person done? He hasn't done anything wrong, or she hasn't done anything wrong. So why am I responding this way? And so we override what our body is telling us. But there has yet to be a time when I didn't later figure out, like, oh, wow, I was right. My gut, you know, that feeling of like that gut feeling was telling me something. And later on, you know, over dinner, or, you know, something would come out that made me realize, oh, I really got it within the first 30 seconds of meeting this person. I knew something wasn't quite right. And so that's one of the ways that I have felt, you know, disembodied. Another way is, quite honestly, you know, I think a lot of women in particular, but sometimes men, don't ask for what they really want in bed. You know, we feel like we're there to serve and give to the other person, and that what might they think if we ask to have our needs met? And, you know, definitely spent not a problem now, but definitely spent the better part of my life, you know, not speaking up and saying, yes, that feels good, or no, that hurts, right? Mm-hmm. Like something doesn't feel right. And so many times I would just sort of go along with something just because I didn't want to rock the boat, and I was disembodied. I would just, at that point, just kind of like disconnect from my body and just go along with it, and not speaking up and saying, well, I would prefer this, or that makes me uncomfortable. And so those are just kind of two examples specifically around, you know, romantic relationships where I have felt disembodied, where I was not connected with what my body was telling me. Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about that gut instinct about something, there's a reason we feel it in our stomach, you know, because certain neurochemicals and certain hormones are released throughout our body, which are giving signals. And a lot of them get eventually dumped into our stomach. And so we feel certain things there.
Yeah. You know, for the longest time, I used to say, and it was my experience that, you know, people always say, listen to your gut. And I'm like, I feel like I have so many voices, like there's the head, the heart, the gut, and I can't really, I don't know how to tell which is which. Mm-hmm. And, I'm actually just now remembering that used to be my experience for so much of my life. I honestly believe most people in modern society walk around disembodied. And, it has really taken the embodiment practice to help me learn how to hear which of those, you know, voices is my gut.
Yeah.
So
I've heard it said that, you know, and I don't know who to credit this to, but it's something that I'd heard, but when you meet somebody and you're excited on that date and you get those butterflies in your stomach, it feels like butterflies, but really what you're experiencing is anxiety. Right? That something about that person is making you feel anxious. Maybe you feel like they're too far out of my league, or maybe they won't like me. That, again, looking for that validation, something is making you feel anxious. Whereas if you meet somebody and you feel calm and soothed, and your nervous system and your stomach feel just nice and balanced, that's probably going to be somebody who would be a better fit as a partner than somebody who you're always going to wonder, do they like me enough? Mm. Right. So it's different people. Personally, bring out different things.
I think that nervousness or anxiety and excitement pretty much show up the same in the body for me. And that's one thing I actually kind of have to check in with the mind and the story.
Yeah.
What are the stories involved here? But returning to the gut, though, in my last relationship, possibly the one before, I don't know, but I've definitely got more severe. I developed IBS, and I think it was because I was not listening to my gut. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to pause this again right here for one more quick break, so that we can get into more into the intuitive eating and romantic relationships. So you're listening to Becoming Secure in Love from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind with me, Love Coach Mariah, and my guest, intuitive eating therapist, Victoria Coronado. And wrapping up with embodiment, after a short break, we'll get into intuitive eating. What does your relationship with food say about your relationship with yourself? And how does it interact with your romantic relationships? Stay tuned.
Looking for the next Can't Put It Down book? Pick up Unapologetically Favored by Courtney Cottrell, 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy and motivational speaker. See this beautiful coming-of-age story unfold through the eyes of a true leader. A testimony of tenacity, faith, and self-love that will have you embarking on your own path of self-discovery. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney and her work.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby.
Welcome back to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind with me, Love Coach Mariah. You can find me at lovecoachmariya.com. And my guest today is my friend Victoria Coronado, a licensed professional counselor and intuitive eating therapist. If folks want to get in touch with you, Victoria, will you tell us one more time where to find you?
Sure. They can reach out to nourishcounselingservices.com.
Thank you. And dear listener, if you are interested in intuitive eating therapy, her practice does offer a complimentary exploratory call to help decide if it's a good fit for your needs. Before the break, we were discussing embodiment, and now we're going to look at how it's applied in intuitive eating therapy and how healing our relationship with food can also heal issues within our romantic relationships. Victoria, would you be so kind as to tell us about the general methodology of intuitive eating therapy?
Sure. So there really are 10 principles by which we sort of apply to intuitive eating. I'm going to go over just a few of them here. But, you know, the main point to remember is that we come into this world knowing our hunger cues and our fullness cues. When we're a baby and we're hungry, we know that we're hungry and we will cry and scream until somebody brings us a bottle, right? And when we're full, you really can't overfeed a baby. They will turn their head this way, that way. You know, if you feed them too much, they are going to, you know, regurgitate it all on your shoulder as you're burping them, right? So we know that we come into this world knowing how to listen to these cues. We know when we're hungry, we know when we're full. But what happens is as we go through life, we end up developing coping mechanisms for dealing with stressors. And so when we start talking about intuitive eating, we're talking about honoring our body, honoring our hunger, our fullness, and really making a commitment to no longer adhere to a diet mentality, right? So much of what we've learned in girls as young as 9 years old usually start their first diet. So it's so much a part of our culture that they think this is the normal, natural thing to do. And diet mentality basically tells us you are not okay the way you are, that you need to change something about your body. And here's how to do it. You're going to restrict your calories. You're going to eat less and you're going to exercise more. The idea is that you are going to create a deficit and therefore you are going to somehow alter your body. And so the first thing that we need to do is really look at that idea of diet and realize it doesn't work. If it did work, we would all be dieting and be at our perfect weight, right? Whatever weight we think is perfect, we'd be there. It doesn't work. You lose weight for a little period of time, and then suddenly the cravings are so intense, no amount of willpower is going to be able to fight back against it. And we then go into a cycle of binging or overeating, where we end up gaining back any weight that we lost and plus some. So in order to move from this diet mentality to one in which we're doing intuitive eating, which is really a microcosm for intuitive living, we need to first decide that no matter what, we're not going to participate in diet culture. Diet culture is toxic. We're not going to participate in it. So how do we then, do we just say like, okay, I'm just fine the way I am? Maybe. Maybe we say I can trust my body to do what it needs to do if I'm honoring my hunger cues and my fullness cues. But it's often very difficult because people have developed a toxic relationship with food and a toxic relationship with their bodies. Most people approach food from the perspective of, I hate my body, and therefore I am afraid of this food, or I hate that I can't restrict this food, and so they overeat. And it, you know, perpetuates the cycle of, I hate my body, I hate myself, I couldn't stick to the diet. And they go round and round. And so what we want to do is break that cycle and learn to love ourselves exactly as we are. We start there with saying, I am worthy. I am valuable. I am not going to override and self-abandon. I'm not going to override the hunger cues. When I'm hungry, I will eat. But when I'm full, I will stop. Right. And so what you see is that as you begin to learn to listen to those cues and follow them from a place of love, in other words, I love myself too much to be unhealthy. And you start thinking about, what do I need to do to be healthy? Well, you might start making different choices, right? You might decide that you would prefer to have, you know, a healthy dinner versus a bowl of ice cream, right? You might decide that. You might not, but it's your choice is guided by love for yourself and no longer abandoning the cues, no longer abandoning the parts of your body that you don't like. You're saying, I accept myself as I am, and I can love myself as I am, and I can love every version of myself. And so intuitive eating really helps us, that embodiment that you were talking about, that really, really helps us to become embodied, because we have to become finely attuned to what hunger really is and what satiety really is. And you would be absolutely shocked how many people have no clue of what hunger signals actually are. They actually don't know. They're like, I think my stomach rumbles. By the time your stomach rumbles, you actually don't have time to fix a meal. If you wait until your stomach rumbles to go fix a meal, you're going to be eating everything in your kitchen. Right. You eat everything in your kitchen before the meal is ready, and then you eat the meal, and then you're overstuffed. So you have to learn how to notice these little nuances, right? Really, the first sign of hunger is you start thinking about food. You know, you're actually sitting at your desk or you're working in your garden, all of a sudden like, huh, wonder what's for lunch today. That's actually the first signal of hunger. Is that you actually think about food. And next, you might notice that like, oh, I'm starting to feel a little irritable, or I'm starting to feel a little lightheaded, or, you know, smells, you know, just even if you're in your garden, the smell of the flowers smell more aromatic.
Yeah, there you go.
It smells are better. And those are some of the initial cues to, I think I'm starting to get hungry. And so that's the time to go prep a meal, not waiting until your stomach rumbles. And so this practice of really sitting with what is actually happening in your body and honoring that is really this embodiment practice. And then you take it to other areas of your life, right? You start learning how to, you check in with your body when somebody asks you to do something, and you check in, you notice, do I feel some resentment about that? Do I feel some resentment about being asked to do? And you can feel it in your body because you've learned to become really finely attuned to what your body is telling you. Also with exercise, you know, I mentioned earlier in the program about working out to the point where I was throwing up and then feeling like I needed to go back and work out some more. You know, with intuitive eating and intuitive exercise, you want to choose exercise that feels gentle and loving toward your body. You don't want to feel like you just got hit by a Mack truck. Right?
No.
That is, no, you really don't. You want things that are gentle and, you know, that help get your body moving, but maybe things that you actually enjoy doing, like dance or archery or kayaking. Nothing wrong with going to the gym and working out, as long as it's coming from a place of, I love my body and therefore I want to improve my cardiovascular health, or I want to strength train because that's good for my bones. It's really about how you're framing it.
It sounds also like what I think of with reparenting. And treating yourself and your body like you would a child, sort of like, not like they don't know what they're doing, but like nurturing it and caring for it and giving what it needs. And sometimes having boundaries with yourself or encouraging yourself, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. This has been such a delight, Victoria, and I do need to wrap things up. But before we do, I wonder if you might tell us, what is one way you could empower your compassion?
I definitely think that when you are looking at yourself in the mirror and you're noticing like lumps and bumps that maybe weren't there a decade ago, you know, empowering self-compassion is to say, this is a body that is living well. This is a body that is healthy and is enjoying life and is the vessel that is carrying me through my life. And I can have compassion toward the parts of myself that maybe I sometimes reject. And I can say, you know, this is still the body that is my vessel and my temple. And I love it. I love all of it. I'm not going to reject any of it. And having that compassion toward yourself.
Absolutely. Learn more and connect with Victoria at nourishcounselingservices.com.
As a reminder, thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness, thank you. As a reminder, I can be found at lovecoachmariah, spelled M-A-R-I-Y-A.com. I lead a free online community for women navigating the challenges of insecure relationship in the Facebook group Empowered Compassion. I also facilitate a virtual ashram for women working to build the foundations of an authentically aligned life and a balanced interdependent relationship. That's called Peaceful Power Practice, and you can ask me about enrollment. And my standing offer is one-on-one coaching for women seeking guidance and tools for relational health. The first call is on me. Reach out anytime via Facebook, my website, or email me at connect@lovecoachmariah.com. And with that, my friends, I bring this journey to its conclusion. Thank you all for joining me. And thank you, Victoria, for sharing yourself with us and unpacking these heart-centered topics with me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. On the next episode, I'll be digging into boundaries. Do you have them? Do you understand them? Are they a point of friction in your relationship or a point of connection? I look forward to exploring this fundamental skill with all of you. I'm Love Coach Mariah, and you are loved.
Thank you for listening to Becoming Secure in Love, from Push and Pull to Peace of Mind, with me, Love Coach Mariah. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for an ample set of practical tools that will help you develop internally rooted security, the foundation of a balanced interdependent relationship. You'll also learn how to empower your compassion, which will alchemize the soul and transform any relationship. Learn more at lovecoachmariah.com. That's lovecoach, M-A-R-I-Y-A.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.